What a great job. Amen. What a blessing that ministry is. And praise the Lord. I'll go where you want me to go. Now, we saw evidence of that just this last week when we had four missionary families here, and we heard about their call and the places where God sent them. We heard some great messages. We heard some or had some great fellowship. What a great time that was. Amen?
Amen.
And so here we are on the heels of really what I thought was a great missions conference. I heard it from so many of you that that was the greatest, that was the best missions conference we had. You know, it seems to me that the one that we just had always seems to be the greatest one.
Right.
It just does. I guess because you're right in the middle of it and you're experiencing it and, you know, you're right in the moment. And it was great. It really delivered. And all of the missionaries just did a great job. And God greatly blessed. And so I don't want to just go a different direction today. I still want to stay, of course, on the theme of missions. And so I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And if I'm going to say one of my favorite books, if not my favorite book, it would be the book of Philippians. This was an epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote from prison. He wrote this with three other epistles and at the time. He was in Rome twice, imprisonments. In that first imprisonment, he wrote four epistles, and one of them was the book of Philippians. Philippians was a blessing to the Apostle Paul, really every church that he wrote to, but the church at Philippi had really gone forth, and they had really been a blessing. They had taken the gospel and gone forth, just like the church in Thessalonica, that those churches in the Macedonia region were, they were at it, and they were faithful. So the Apostle Paul here is finishing up this epistle. Here we are in chapter 4. And of course, the Apostle Paul was truly a missionary. You know, he was a missionary going into regions beyond, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing people get saved, and he was starting churches. Of course, the Lord through him was starting churches from the ground up. And he certainly learned what it was like to pay a heavy price. We've heard that from numerous missionaries about the challenges that they face, the persecutions that they've gone up against. Of course, we pray for Brother O'Brien, who's not back yet into the country of Ukraine, but just what they're going through. Of course, the Harrises, being down there ourselves just a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be giving testimony to that tonight, and just being around, you know, there's a lot of activity there, a lot of not good activity, drug activity, drug trafficking, the cartels. We heard some bullets sounding off one night, and so we know that they're in the midst of some danger, but so many of our missionaries are. And so the Apostle Paul knew what it was to pay a big price. We know that he's writing this epistle, as I mentioned, he's writing this epistle from Rome in a prison. He's under house arrest at this time, so he has some liberties. And if you were to look at Acts chapter 28, this is what you would see. You'd see in that last chapter, we won't go there, but you see that he had many visitors. For 2 years, he had that opportunity to get the gospel out. As he had those liberties to be able to give the gospel. He writes this epistle's conclusion, because he's getting to the end of this epistle, this conclusion for the purpose of highlighting something about how this church had reached out to him. Now, obviously, he didn't do that on his own. The Holy Spirit led him and inspired him to write every word down, but it was in Paul's heart to no doubt want to acknowledge them because they were such a blessing to him, and so the Spirit of God worked through that. And this church at Philippi sets forth a good example of how all churches should look to their missionaries. And so this morning's message is a missions-minded church, a missions-minded church. And I believe that we have become a missions-minded church. Now, we still have a ways to go, amen? But amen, that was kind of a quiet response. But I think that there are, I see it, I feel it, and I see it in our numbers. The last missions conference that we had, again, was a year and a half ago. That's because, again, not to explain it all, but we were in the fall, and I wanted to get us back into the spring. So we took a year and a half to get back into our missions conference. And then, of course, just last week, having that conference, what a great blessing. But just watching what God did a year and a half ago with Faith Promise and how it went up I'm trying to remember the numbers exactly, over 50% increase. And I believe we're headed toward another increase. But listen, it's not all been played out. And that's why I say to pray about it, because really for the next few weeks, those cards come in. And it gives us more of an opportunity to find out where we're at in regard to our missionaries. Last time we were able to add on 5 new missionaries. And I have a list right now of some more missionaries that I want to add on that we weren't able to on that last go. But I want us to go that direction. So here we are, and we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. I'm just going to read verse 10 to start off with, and then we're going to get into this message about a missions-minded church. And may we be, as Cornerstone Baptist Church, may we also be a missions-minded church. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful for the opportunity to come before your throne of grace. We thank you for our great Savior. We come in his wonderful name. We thank you for the fact that you've forgiven us and given us eternal life. We have everlasting life right now. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you died on a cross for our sins. You were buried and you're risen again. You're a risen Savior and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And we have the Spirit of God living in our hearts. What a great thing it is to be a temple of God. Lord, help us. Help us to yield our lives to you. Help us to be faithful, to walk with you. For those of us here, we're not on a mission field, but maybe you're going to call some here to a mission field. We thank you for the missions conference that we just had, for the missionaries that were here and were such a blessing to us. We pray your hand would be upon each and every one of them in their various fields. But we pray, Lord, that you'd help us with what we have around us here. This is our Jerusalem. Would you help us to be faithful with the gospel all around Hayden and Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls and Rathdrum and all of the area around us, Lord. We pray for you to help us to be a lighthouse, help us to be a light in a dark place. Lord, we pray that you would use us, but may we yield and submit ourselves unto you. But may we also yield and submit ourselves to you for those that we support, that has been brought up with Faith Promise. Would you just lead and guide in all of that? Would you work in each and every heart? But we take a look at this church here at Philippi. What a blessing they were to the Apostle Paul. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at them, we pray that we might become more and more of that to our missionaries. And may we be a blessing to one another. And so we thank you. We pray that everything that is done, we want it to be for the glory of Christ. We want to lift up his name. And I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work today. I pray that you would anoint me. I pray that you'd set me to the side. And I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear. So we thank you and we pray all of this now in Christ's name. Amen. Well, first of all, here in verse 10, let's take a look here in Philippians 4. In verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." So the first thing that the Apostle Paul brings forth in regard to this church at Philippi and how they had been a blessing unto him was the concern that they had, the concern on their part for Paul's needs. Missions meant something to them, and they got all worked up about it. You know, we get worked up about a lot of things, don't we? Yeah, we do. I'll be honest. I get worked up about things that are not always spiritual. I'm a sports guy. I can yahoo with the best of them when my team is doing well, and when they're not doing so well, I'm not yahooing as much. You know how that goes. Some of us love sports. Some of us, you love to knit, all right? You love to crochet. I'm not there. That's not exciting to me. I see guys on TV, selling their cookware, and they get so excited. I get excited, and I go, wow, I want to buy one of those pans, those stick-free pans, but I don't even cook. It's just because they're excited. And so, people, we get excited about things. Well, this church was excited about something. Not that they didn't have some other interests. Certainly they did. But they were excited about what the Apostle Paul was doing. And they were excited about missions. And may we be excited about missions. Maybe we be excited about something that we can't do on our own. We can't go out and go to a field unless God calls us there, but we can help support somebody who is there. Amen? And we can be a blessing to them. So there was this great concern. He sees that right there in this verse as I read it again. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, he says, that now at the last, you know, here more recently is what he's saying, your care of me hath flourished again. It has revived again. It has blossomed again. Paul was blown away by all that they did for him because they reached out and they communicated with the Apostle Paul. It made him rejoice greatly. Isn't it a blessing when somebody just reaches out to you and I and they communicate with us? Listen, that's how we are. When somebody extends to us this kind of concern, folks, we love it. We love it when we get a call. We love it when we get a card or a letter or a text. It goes a long way. Can you say amen to that? Certainly. Jude it was only one chapter in Jude, verse 22 says, and of some have compassion making a difference. And of some have compassion making a difference. Listen, the folks, these missionaries that are out on the field, they appreciate when you and I reach out unto them. I certainly can take it to a higher level, and that's something that I need to do. Yeah, I reach out, but I could do it at a better level. Do you think maybe some of you could do it at a better level? Listen, I'm excited when I hear many of you saying, yeah, I touch base with the Harrises or the O'Briens or, Brother Spencer Baker in Hawaii and just letting them know, hey, we're praying for them and just finding out what's going on with them. So many of you touch base with Brother Donnelly, who's part of Rock of Ages, to find out how Debbie Donnelly is doing after this broken ankle and after the fact that she's been having these headaches and there's issues with her thyroid, and we've been praying for her. Some of you just reach out and you get a hold of them. You know what a blessing that is to them? Because I have a feeling that they don't hear it as much as they should from their supporting churches. And so it is a great blessing to do that. Now, the last part of this verse in verse 10 says that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So Paul was truly blessed by, again, these recent expressions of compassion and care. He was blown away by that they had truly reached out to him. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Remember them that are bound. You know, we've said it, and we try not to lift, exalt them in a place where, we don't want to exalt people, okay? Listen, people do things, those who are serving the Lord do it because they want to serve the Lord. They don't want to be acknowledged, yes, but at the same time, we do want to acknowledge them. We want to let them know what they're doing. I know that I hear from them, like the Harrises, they were here with us recently. What a blessing it is when they hear from you. What a blessing it is when you reach out and you communicate to them. You know how good you feel when you get that little smiley emoji added on to the text, right? My wife will text me and then I see the smiley emoji and I go, yes. All right, that's like the cherry at the top of the ice cream, right? It's a blessing. And then he goes on to say here in verse, at the last part, that wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He goes on to say how careful they were. Now, this word careful, again, sometimes over time, it kind of can lose its meaning, but that just means how full of care that they were, how full of care and compassion that they had towards him. He says you were careful. It was not, typical for Paul to experience that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you might want to turn there, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he says this about the church here. In chapter 3 and verses 6 through 9, Timothy had gone over and then had come back. He had gone to the church at Thessalonica, and then he returned. And it says in verse 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live. This is what makes us live, he says. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. This is what revs our motor, the Apostle Paul said. This is what gets me going, is when I find out that you're standing fast in the things of the Lord. For what thanks, he says, for what great thanks, what thanks can we render to God again for you? When we heard about this from Timothy, about how well you're doing, about how you're staying faithfully at it, about how much you want to see us, he says, what thanks can we render to God again for you? And he says, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. The Apostle Paul was just so excited at what had taken place in Thessalonica. Now, when you read about Thessalonica in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 17, the word of God hit them, and they accepted it. They received the word of God, not as the word of men, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, but as it is indeed the word of God. And so it began to really work in their hearts, and it grew them. And so Paul saw that in that short span of time that he was there. He was there at least 3 weeks, but I think he might have been there a little bit longer. And he saw this thing take off with the Thessalonian believers. But, you know, as he left, you know, the Apostle Paul maybe had to wonder, Lord, are they staying at it? Are they still staying at it? Because he saw how the churches in Galatia had gotten excited at the beginning, and then they began to go off another direction when the Judaizers came in and started to, exhort them and encourage them to go off into the works of the law. So Paul had to have wondered, where are these Thessalonican believers, Lord? Where are they? Lord, would you help them to stay at it and to stay faithful to the things that we preached unto them? And so when he gets news from Timothy, he was excited to hear where they were in their walk with Christ. Folks, that's why it's important for us to just stay faithfully at it and just encourage one another. God will bless that. If I may say this, I don't think it's really typical or too typical for missionaries today from here, from the churches that support them. I don't think they hear a whole lot of that. And may we make a bigger difference in that category. Amen? May we reach out to them. Every one of you can find out. We've got information on our missionaries, an email address, or to be able to write them a letter, to be able to send a text to them, to be a blessing unto them. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's just a verse that's saying, reach out to those that somebody doesn't always reach out to. And missionaries can certainly fall into that category. May we reach out unto them and be a blessing unto them. Because, you know, just being with the Harrises a few weeks ago, and I look at Brother Jordan over here, you just think about, listen, that can be somewhat lonely. They're not around, you know, maybe folks that they would love to be around. I thought it was a blessing that they could come here and be a part of this missions conference that we just had, be able to spend time with their son and their daughter-in-law, Hannah, and be able to spend some time with us. But, you know, being able to be around family, I know they delight when they get to go back to Ohio and they get to see some of their other kids. But you know what? They're following a call that God has called them to be in Mexico. And you know that there are sacrifices being made. We've heard it said, and it's so true that, listen, I'll just say this about Brother Harris. He is a sharp man. And Mrs. Harris is too. But Brother Harris could be making a lot of money if he was just out working out in the secular world. He has got a business head on his shoulders. And that's where Ezra gets his, no doubt. But you know what? He's made a decision. No, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord and go somewhere where, hey, we're not going to have all that we would like to have, but that's okay. We're serving the Lord. And so, listen, folks, it's just good to reach out to him. And just to say thank you, and we're praying for you. And he says here at the end of verse 10 again, but she lacked opportunity. It may have been that after that initial contact, this church at Philippi with Paul, especially after he left, that they faithfully sought to help out his needs. Because if you jump to verse 15, where it says on the last part of that verse, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You were the only church that reached out with what my needs were. But after a time, it says that they had lacked opportunity. Now, I don't understand everything about that statement. Maybe they just didn't have the opportunity at a given time to reach out to the Apostle Paul. Maybe they got distracted with some other things, and Paul was not on the forefront in their mind. But he said, for some reason, you lacked opportunity. Well, listen, we've all done that. We get sidetracked, and we begin to start dwelling on the things that happen in our life. And the distractions that come our way, that we begin to start forgetting about others who are in need. It's kind of just human, isn't it? It's part of our human nature to do that. Well, for some reason, he said you lacked opportunity, and maybe I was set on the back burner for a little while. Yet over time, and here recently, as Paul is saying about this church, they were compelled to help him again, just as the passage tells us. That's why, again, I want to emphasize faith promise and reaching out to missionaries. Now, you get to verses 11, 12, and 13, and 11, 12, and 13 is just a message in itself, and I've preached this message many, many times, but it's just somewhat of a parenthetical thought about the Apostle Paul and where he was. Paul had learned contentment. I'll read through these verses because they're just stellar verses. Maybe you've memorized a part of this passage, but he says here in verses 11, 12, and 13, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul said, listen, God has taught me something over time, and I have learned that whatever state I am, wherever I find myself in, whether I'm abounding and I'm on the heels of some great victories, or maybe I'm being abased and I've just been taken down low, and maybe I've just suffered some persecution. He's saying, I'm learning whatever situation I'm in, I'm just learning how to be content. That's a great lesson for you and I to learn, is that we're going to find ourselves having some great days, but then we might find ourselves having some not so great days, and we might have some news that confronts us that, well, how do I deal with this? And it just hangs over us, and it burdens our shoulders, and we're bothered by it. But may we learn how to just walk with Christ and learn how to just be content with whatever it is that he has laid upon us. Because, folks, we're going to have our good days, we're going to have our bad days, but may we just learn to trust the Lord and seek his face and say, Lord, can you teach me? I know this is not going to happen overnight. Teach me how to be content with whatever it is that comes my way. That's part of maturing and developing in the things of Christ. Listen, I'm like you. I don't want to have bad days, certainly not. But the Lord's teaching me more and more, and boy, I have a whole lot more to learn on this. But when we go through some rough times, I just have to try to learn to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to just rejoice in it because you know everything that happens in my life. And that's something that you and I have got to come to grips with, is that, and understand and believe fully that he knows every single detail that takes place in our lives. And nothing gets by him by accident. Right. Nothing just occurs to God. Nothing ever just occurred to God. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Michael, why didn't you warn me of that? He never said that. That's never been spoken of in heaven. Nothing ever just happened by a happenstance with God. So now we look at the second thing, and in reference to the gifts that were sent. The second thing, these gifts that were sent. Verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done. You've done well, he says. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul commends them when he says, well done. You've done very, very well in regard to this, that ye communicated and you reached out with my affliction and my trials and the things that are happening in my life. He says, praise God, you've done the right thing. You've reached out. You've reached out to somebody in need. May we be a church that's known as somebody that wants to reach out to somebody who's going through some trials and going through afflictions. You know, I've seen that. I've seen that all across the board. I've watched how you've reached out to others, whether it's in our church or to others. Some of you have gone through cancers. Some of you have gone through, losing some loved ones. Some of you have gone through some financial difficulties. And I've watched others just reach out to you. And may we reach out to one another and be a blessing to one another. Amen? Folks, that's truly the Christ-like thing to do, for us to reach out unto others, to help someone who is going through it. Let's learn to communicate well. It is a blessing when we do that, letting our missionaries know that we're praying for them, as I've already mentioned. Then verses 15 and 16, as we read here, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye were sent once and again, unto my necessity. So in fact, Paul is saying this. Paul says that they made a habit of it way back in the day when he departed from Macedonia. That's chapter 16 in the book of Acts, when they went up to Macedonia. God had given that vision to the apostle Paul about that man in Macedonia that begged him to come over, and so Paul knew that was of the Lord, and they went up there, and God blessed. They went right through, Samothracia, and they eventually got to Philippi, and they led Lydia to Christ. They had that issue with the woman with the demon-possessed damsel that they had to deal with. They ended up preaching the word of God and getting thrown into jail, yet they went faithfully through that. You understand that in that situation, the apostle Paul could have easily pulled out his papers. And he could have said, wait a second, I'm a Roman citizen. What are you doing? You can't just imprison me like this and beat me uncondemned. But he didn't do it. And I really believe the Lord told him, don't take it out, Paul. And he went through the beatings. They went into the jail. They were there at midnight. They sang praises unto God. And as a result, somebody got saved. The jailer got saved. There's a lesson right there that maybe God doesn't want us to use an escape route that we might have. And maybe the Lord is speaking to you and I about, no. You just stay at it. Yeah, you have an opportunity to flee this direction or that direction, but I'm leading you to go through it. And maybe maybe the reason for that is someone's going to get saved down the road. And so God blessed, and he blessed in Macedonia in incredible ways. And he said, no other church had done what you have done, and that is to reach out to the level that you've reached out, but you only. And they had felt blessed to do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, we heard this verse a number of times through the conference, but it says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. And as I said, yeah, God loveth a cheerful giver, but he'll also take something from a grouch. All right? But it's better for us to do it cheerfully. It's better for us to do it in a way that it's honoring unto God, because he loves that. In 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul urged and exhorted Timothy. He says, charge those that are rich in the church, financially rich. He says, give them a charge that they don't focus on their money. He said this in verses 17 and 18, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they would do good, that they would be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, as you address some of these, and you know some of them that are well off, encourage them, exhort them to not be rich in the things of this life. Yeah, God blesses some people and they have wealth. That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But how you handle that is what matters. And Paul told Timothy, exhort them to do right. Exhort them to be generous. Exhort them to be a blessing. Exhort them to help missionaries. And God will continue to bless what he's given to you. I really believe that. But he wants us to be faithful for what he has given to us. Amen? That's why I say that we as a church ought to take it up really several notches from where we're at. I think we're going at a good level. I really do. But I think we can take it up several notches to reach out to those in the church for whatever reason. May we reach out to one another and to the needs that are prevalent here in our church. I'm just overjoyed when we have our Friday morning men's prayer. And for the men that come, and they want to be a blessing to one another, but they also want to be a blessing to the church. And we pray for the things in the church. We pray for those who are going through tough times. We pray for those who are going through, physical challenges, health issues. What a blessing it is to be praying for them. So that is just a great barometer of what I see of people that really care. But also to reach out again to our missionaries, to reach out unto them as what we see here that this church of Philippi did with the Apostle Paul. Again, it can make such a huge difference that it'll be pleasing when we just reach out and do what we can. May we go on and reach higher ground. I think about a minister who was exhorting his congregation to become more active in church affairs and reaching out to missionaries and just doing more. And he said to the church, "Brothers and sisters," he proclaimed, "what this church needs is the energy to get up and walk." And one of the deacons said, "Let her walk, brother, let her walk." And the preacher raised his voice a little and added, "But we cannot be satisfied with walking. We've got to pick up speed and run." And the same deacon chimed in, "Let her run, brother, let her run." And the preacher was really getting into his message now, "But running's not enough either." He said, "One of these days this church has got to fly." And the same deacon echoed, "Let her fly, brother, let her fly." And the preacher paused for a moment and said solemnly, "But if this church is going to fly, we are all going to have to work harder and give more money." And that deacon said softly, "Let her walk, brother, let her walk." Are we willing to do something? Are we willing to make some sacrifices on our part? Paul wants them to know that he was not looking for these gifts or supplies for himself. He had been, as he said there in verses 11 through 13, that he had learned how to be content. He says, "I don't really need these gifts that you're sending me," but he was excited that they were doing it for God. He said, "This will be fruit to your account. It's good that you're doing this, although I really don't need it." And as a result, that they would put themselves in a position that God would bless them. He was excited because they were learning to give. They were learning how to make sacrifices because, folks, they didn't have a whole lot. We looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when it said the churches of Macedonia, they gave out of their liberality, but they were also out of their poverty, it talked about. They didn't have a whole lot. But they dug down deep with whatever they could. They probably raised some money. They probably did whatever they could and made sacrifices so that they could give and be a blessing to the Apostle Paul and be a blessing to the saints that were in Jerusalem at that particular time there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says this, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." I'll just say this by personal testimony. I've seen that through the years, all these years that we've been a part of Faith Promise. And I first learned Faith Promise back at Treasure Valley Baptist Church there in the early 90s. We got there in 90, and right off the bat, we're Faith Promise. I hadn't heard this before. And then hearing about what Faith Promise was. At least that was the first time that it really hit me. Wow, okay, well, making this pledge commitment to give to missions and to do it anonymously, but to just know it's between me and the Lord. I'm going to stick with this, Lord. And through those years, my wife and I will tell you, there's been a lot of tough times. Those early years, my wife was at home. We were just on one income, and sometimes it was tough. The kids were growing up, and you know what it is to be feeding kids, especially if you have boys. They just seem like they're hollowed out, and it's like, where's all that food going? Of course, our oldest daughter could devour a whole pizza, and she's only like 4'11 now. So it's like, wow, but you just follow what that commitment is, and you just say, no, we're going to give, and we're going to just be faithful at it. And I'm not saying that to exalt. No, I'm just saying that God will bless. I watched the Lord through all of those years just take care of us. We were never without. And God blessed it. And I just say to you, listen again, you do what God leads you to do. But if you take that step and say, man, we just can't afford it, you can't afford not to do it. Because you just watch what God will do for you. You just watch how God provides and you go, that just came unexpectedly. Where did that check come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. And the Lord has ways of taking care of us. And we don't do it for that reason. We heard that in the conference as well. We don't do it with that kind of a motive. Oh, I know if I give, I'll get more. Well, that's foolish. We give because we want to be a blessing. And then we just watch how God takes care of his own. And as Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, as I stated, God just, he'll give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. God says, you watch what I give to you when I see that you're just trusting me and being a blessing to somebody else. And in verse 18, it says this, but I have all. Paul says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Paul was full. Paul was content. And that's really amazing when you think about it. He was in a prison. But he said, I'm just happy in the Lord. And I've learned how to be happy in this jail cell because God's using it. And I can just think about, when you think about Paul was a go-getter. You know what a type A personality is? Well, Paul was a type A to the max. You know that. Paul just wanted to get things done. So you can't tell me that when he was in prison that he just happened to just handle it just peachy keen right off the bat. Peachy keen, that's a Greek term, right? It means everything's good. Listen, you know that in his spirit he wanted to be out. Lord, I think I could be doing so much more for you if I was out and had my freedom and I could go and preach to the churches. But the Lord said, no, Paul, I need you in the prison right now and I'll use you. And Paul had learned how to be content with that, how difficult that was for him. Maybe you're in a circumstance right now where you're saying, this is difficult. I'm just not wired this way. Why do I have to go through this? Why does this have to be thrown into our family right now? Why do I have to deal with this situation? Why has this happened with my job? Why has this happened with our finances? What about my health? Listen, something gets thrown at us, and we look at it, and we say, I just don't know how I'm going to handle it. If we just learn how to take it to the Lord and just say, Lord, would you help me just to die to self and help me to just submit to you and let you do what you want through this? Now, I say that making it sound so simple. It's not simple, but we have to learn how to die daily like Paul did. And if we'll just yield to the Lord, then God can help us and God will give us strength. So Paul said, I'm already full. And the things that you sent to me, I'm already full. I'm already thoroughly blessed. He needed no more. A sacrifice acceptable, an odor of a sweet smell. This would be something that we should all strive for, folks, to be fully content. I like what Abraham Lincoln said about that. He was holding the hands of his two boys and walking down the street. And both were crying. And someone asked, what's wrong with the boys? Mr. Lincoln said, oh, the same problem that's happening out in the world. I've got three walnuts and they both want two. That's our problem. We just get a little too selfish. And we want things for ourselves. And learning to turn that over unto the Lord, that's the best recourse that we can take. And then finally, let me bring out this last point, and that is the blessings that come from God. The blessings that come from God. Verse 19, he lays that out very, very clearly. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The blessings that come from God. So the Apostle Paul now concludes his letter to these believers by telling them what comes as a result of all of this. What comes as a result of all of this? Of reaching out and helping those who take the gospel to others. Of being a blessing to missionaries, which they had been a blessing to him. Or who helps out with others' needs. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He states very emphatically to these believers that God shall supply all your needs, all of the needs that you have, God will supply them. Let's take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we saw this as well. Brother Harris did a great job of explaining what faith promise was and is. And verses 7 through 11 in chapter 9, it says this, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." And we're, of course, applying this to faith promise for missions. He says, "Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Let me just get back to something that we just read there in verse 7 about according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. You remember when Brother Harris talked about how important it is for us to learn to wait on the Lord as far as what to give, as far as waiting on the Lord for what it is that he would have us to give, and waiting on him, and not being, quick to act, not just doing it off of our emotions. You remember when he talked about that? Because sometimes we can do that. We can just be, we can do that when we jump to conclusions. We don't let something play itself out, and then we rue the consequences down the road. It's kind of like the guy that went into the drugstore, and he was walking down the pharmacy aisle, and finally he asked the pharmacist, he says, "Do you got anything for hiccups?" And without any hesitation, the pharmacist just slapped him in the face. And the guy went, and the pharmacist said, "Well, did that help?" And he said, "Well, I'm not sure. Let me go out to the car and ask my wife." Listen, we need to just make sure that we take it to the Lord and wait on the Lord. Because sometimes if we make too quick of a decision, down the road we're like, "Why did I think that?" Because sometimes we got in an emotional froth and we made a decision on that rather than just trusting the Lord and just waiting upon him. And so it says here in verse 9, he says, as it is written, well, let me read verse 8 again. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Now that's taken from Psalm 112. If you look at 112, that's what verses 9 through 11 comes from. But what Paul is saying to them is God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and he'll bless you as you give. He talked about how to give. Either you do it sparingly or you do it bountifully in the verses before that. And so may we pray about it and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to go forth with this year's faith promise?" Now, certainly, God takes care of his children. He does. But he has a special and unique blessing for the child of God and the churches that make some personal sacrifices and give to his servants. Amen? When you make a personal sacrifice, now listen, that's to the level that you determine between you and the Lord. And you say, "Well, man, I could really use that." Well, maybe the Lord's saying, "Are you willing to just do without it and just turn that in and let it go to missions and be a help to some missionary?" God says, "I'll take care of you. I will bless you. I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God will take care of you. And it's a great way for a child of God to grow. I talked to a missionary one time, and he was talking about wanting to work with a gentleman in his church that he felt like, "Well, I think the Lord can really use him, but he hasn't learned how to give yet. He hasn't learned how to trust the Lord in that area of his life. And until he does, the Lord's really never going to take him much further." And so maybe somebody here is in that category. You're saying, "We just can't afford to do it. We can't afford to give." Then you're going to become stagnant in your growth. You're not going to be able to go further because you haven't learned how to trust the Lord. Now, I say all of that because, hey, listen, all of this goes to missionaries. It doesn't come to me or anybody else here in the church. It goes towards missions. And what a great thing if we can be a blessing to as many missionaries as we possibly can. And so I just want to put that forth. We're looking here at a good example of a missions-minded church with this church at Philippi. The Apostle Paul goes on to finish this letter as he gives praise to God in verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then a salute to the saints. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You know what that's saying? Those that are of Caesar's household, those that are in the palace here where I'm chained, he said there's some of them that have come to know Christ. And what Paul's saying is, thank the Lord that he allowed me to be imprisoned here, because I've gotten to see some of these guards get saved. Some of them have come to trust Christ, and I'm getting to work with some of them. And so, you know, Paul was grateful for what had taken place in his life. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So may God's grace be with you all. And that's how he concludes this letter. But as he said to these Philippians, listen, no other church communicated but ye only. And God's got a special blessing for you, church at Philippi, because of how you've reached out, how you've made some sacrifices. And so I say this to every one of us as well, because I don't even know where the pledges come from. There's no names attached to them, but it's a blessing to see them come in and go, oh, praise the Lord, we might be able to do more for missions. We might be able to do more for this missionary. We might be able to take on that missionary now. And that's a blessing to me as a pastor, to know that we can do more. So may you just continue to pray about what the Lord wants to do in your life. Let me just say this. This was a message for a church. This was a message that comes on the heels of a missions conference and about where we're at in regard to faith promise. But I want to just speak just for a second. You may be in this church today without Jesus Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you would be on your way to heaven. And the Bible tells us very, very clearly that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says many times, many places. Romans chapter 3 is a very, very clear place about where it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so you may be in here today without Christ. Well, the Bible says if you'll come before the Lord and confess to him that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, then you're taking the right steps, because the Bible says that, listen, there's a payment for our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sooner or later, the Bible says we're all going to die. And as a pastor, I've done many a funeral. I've done many a memorial service. And I know one's going to be done for me one day unless the Lord comes and takes us all out of here. But there's a day that has your name on it as well. If you're here without Christ, then one of these days there'll be a memorial service for you, a funeral service for you. But Jesus paid a price for you. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 5, he died for you. You can't pay for your sins. You're already disqualified. You're already bankrupt from heaven because of the fact that every one of us are sinners. But if you'll understand that Jesus died in your place, that he was buried and rose again, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you will confess Christ and receive him as your Savior, it's a gift. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved today if you're here without Jesus Christ. And it's not some work that you can do. He did all the work. It's by grace. It is by simply receiving what Christ has done for you. He did all of the work when he went to the cross. He wants you to open up your heart to him, and he wants to save you. If you're here without Christ, won't you get saved today? And if you're here today as a believer in the Lord, then may we just simply make sure that our hearts are lined up with the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You've put me in this position. Maybe it's a little uncomfortable. Oh, this is hard. I don't know about making this sacrifice. God will bless it, and he'll use you. But I'll just say, you just got to be just direct between you and the Lord, because that's what it all comes down to about our walk with him. Amen? I'd like you to bow your heads at this time, and we'll go before the Lord in prayer in just a minute. But maybe here, as we have our heads bowed, and the piano's going to play in just a moment, and Vicky, you can begin to play the music right off, and Brother Ray is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. Maybe God's spoken to your heart, believer, about about faith promise, about being what God would want you to do individually. Certainly, we want to do what we're supposed to do as a church, but a church is comprised of individuals. We're all members of this body. And may we simply be yielded to what God would have us to do as individuals. And maybe, obviously, the message is about what we can do for missions. And we're right in the middle of a faith promise campaign or whatever you want to call it. But for these next few weeks, to just be praying about what we can do. And so I just encourage you to just pray about it, and you just do what God would have you to do. If you're here without Christ, then I want to make that invitation to you again. You can be saved. Step out in the aisle and come up here to the front. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us and your mercies. Lord, thank you for your word. It's a perfect book, and we thank you for it. May we be faithful to it. We look at what took place this last week with the missions conference. We thank you for the missionaries that were here. We thank you for the others that we support. It would be a blessing, Lord, if we could take on some more, if we can be a blessing to others that are out doing a work and taking the word of God all around this world. Lord, help us to be faithful as a church. Would you work in each and every one of our hearts? Lord, we thank you and praise you for your great goodness, all that you've done for us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn.